Frisco finally gets on the board at Chicagoland. Denny Hamlin tightens his grip on the regular season championship, and it's a Toyota field day. We'll talk all about that and more coming up on Fast Talk.
Fast Talk is presented by Toyota Racing. Your race, your story. Be part of the action at ToyotaRacingUSA.com. And by Sunoco. From NASCAR to your car, Sunoco Fuel helps your car reach peak performance. Now here's the host of Fast Talk, Doug Rice.
And welcome to Fast Talk, the post-July 4th edition. I'm Doug Rice, joined by a host of all-star panelists today from his home base in right outside of Chicago. We have Andrew Curlin, David Stiles, and Alexis Erickson are working from the PRN studios, and I'm in my home studio bunker in Salisbury, North Carolina. So the far-flung PRN radio network coming at you today, breaking down all things Chicagoland Speedway. First off, a big salute to Chase Briscoe for grabbing his first W of the season. Here's how it sounded.
Briscoe got a great corner off of turn number two. He pulls away from Christopher Bell by two car lengths. Final shot for Christopher Bell in turn three. He drives it in deep.
Christopher Bell will send it hard into turn three. Here comes Bell trying to get the momentum off the corner. Chase Briscoe, though, comes out of turn number four to the start-finish line. Chase Briscoe will win in the NASCAR Cup Series return to the Chicagoland Speedway.
Mike Bagley, the Motor Racing Network, with the call there. Alexis, when they took the white flag, did you think there was any way Bell was going to catch him?
I mean, it was pretty compelling there for the last few laps. I thought, you know, he got to his left rear a couple times, and I thought, oh man, he's going to do it. And he just never could quite pull off the pass. I think he said after the race was over, Bell said, you know, Briscoe's just so good at that blocking, that arrow blocking, which is what was able to keep him in the lead. But let me tell you, Bell made it really interesting there in the last few laps.
And David, I think, you know, we have to grade Bell on the curve just a little bit. He's still not 100% with that wrist injury.
Yeah, that left wrist still playing a factor in that. But Chase Briscoe's car was a little squirrely, too. He got into the outside wall a number of laps before that, and then they had the good pit stop that allowed him to assume the lead over William Byron. And he said that that car was ill-handling, and he thought that if there were maybe a few more laps left, that Christopher Bell probably would have passed him. So it's kind of funny that last week he said, oh, I need just a couple more laps and I could pass Shane Van Gisbergen. And this week he's like, man, I'm glad that we didn't have a couple more laps because I was able to hold on to the lead. So big win for Chase Briscoe. He's been right around the top three, top four all year long. So a big win for that number 19 crew.
Finally got on the board. Andrew Curland was at Chicagoland Speedway. We'll get his impressions of the overall weekend a little bit later on. But Andrew, one of the conversations that we hear so much now from drivers is get out front and control the race. Is that a fairly new phenomenon? It seems like I'm only hearing that the last couple of years.
Certainly. You saw how much clean air helped Chase Briscoe, but I do want to go back to that last lap too. And AJ Allmendinger was a player in that. I think if he wasn't there when they were crossing to get the white flag, that this would be a different scenario. Bell said after the race, hey, this is part of it. Sometimes you're on the good end of lap traffic. Sometimes you're on the bad end of lap traffic. But to back to your point there, you want to control the race because you're the first one to maneuver lap traffic. You can use that lap car as a pick, which is what Chase Briscoe very nicely did. He kind of used AJ Allmendinger as a way to keep Bell behind him, and that's all about being out front and controlling the race. Denny Hamlin talked about how he wishes that they executed this race better, and so it's all about execution. It's all about control. And that's how you ultimately win these races and eventually will win a championship.
Chase Briscoe, of course, the winner. Let's hear from him.
I went, I don't know, 2.5, 3 years that one in a Cup Series, and you win three last year, and it burns at you to not get back in victory lane. So, yeah, I just was waiting for Christopher there to catch me. I was struggling really, really bad, and glad that it was Christopher behind me. You know, just knew he was going to race me, 100% clean, and felt like it was an awesome race, battling back and forth there. So, yeah, just a super awesome weekend. I mean, to win in the Bass Pro Shops, red, white, and blue car, 4th of July weekend. It doesn't get much more American than that.
All right, let's run Old Glory up the flagpole on the nation's 250th. Hope everybody had a wonderful July 4th celebration. And of course, Chase Briscoe with his first win of the season. He is eighth in points. Alexis, I don't know about you, but I always feel different about a driver once he's got a win on the scoreboard. Even if he's having a great season, I'm still holding out for somebody to take a checkered.
Yeah, I mean, and you think about what he just said in that post-race interview. You know, we had three wins last season. Here we are, 18 races into 2026 still, without a W on the board. And in a Toyota, driving for the top Toyota team who has a majority of the race wins this season. So you got to think to yourself, you know, hey, when is it going to be my turn? and it just happened to be his turn yesterday. And Christopher Bell thinking the same thing because he, you know, he's also looking for that W. So, you know, it's I think it's something that he was wanting and needing and hoping would happen, you know, as soon as possible. And he was able to hang on there for the win at the end.
David, does it change your mind about Chase Briscoe being a contender now that he has a win, or do you kind of have him mentally slotted where you always have?
If you're looking at the past few weeks, he's definitely a contender. He's been running up front, having looks at wins. It's just been a feast or famine year. Started the year off a little bit slow as they tried to carry that momentum from 2025 into this season, and it didn't really reflect as they had a number of 30 place, you know, finishes. And so he found himself behind the eight ball trying to climb out of the points deficit, and now he's here. I mean, he's had, four top three finishes, and he finally gets a victory. So it's not like he's been out to lunch or they've been in trouble. He's been a contender in and out, and he was a contender at the 600. It's just he got wrecked. So I think they're starting to shade in the right direction, and he could be a player as we get a little bit further into the season.
You know, I think we have to think, too, about this particular win. We have to give James Small credit.
Yes.
Because if they did not short pit, I'm not sure he would have been in control of the race, as you guys talked about earlier, how important it was for him to be the leader. And obviously, he had to work for it at the end.
Yeah.
We all know that Christopher Bell was coming, and he obviously wasn't extremely comfortable in the car. So he did have to work for it. But I think the very first domino to fall in that win was James Small deciding to pit one lap before William Byron.
Andrew, it did feel like a strategy race to me. What was your take on it?
Yeah, it certainly was. It seemed like the expected strategy amongst everyone was you kind of split the first stage in half. You do the same in stage two, even the same in stage number three with a little bit of a longer run. There was a lot of unknowns, even though you kind of have this mile and a half mindset of, all right, we know how this is going to work. We know a typical race that's 267 laps, but with how rough the track was, with the question of how's it going to rubber in, how are we going to do this, you want track position. And it was actually kind of interesting. Drivers were saying that the track opened up as the race went on, and then in stage number three, it actually kind of closed back down. And they didn't really seem to have an answer as to why that was the case. And so what you can't control is your strategy when you're unsure about what the race conditions are going to be like. It's all about how can you get track position and keep it.
Well, that's one of the things that you learn in these nighttime races, which essentially this was, is that there are usually three races in one. You have the daytime race where the track acts one way, and then that transition period where somebody else looks really good. But you don't get paid until you show up at the tail end of it. That's usually the story with the 600. I felt like it was a lot of the story yesterday with Chicagoland Speedway. Time now for our Toyota Performance Report. Well, they got their money's worth this weekend. We'll just say that. This is brought to you by Toyota Racing. Your race, your story. Be a part of the action at ToyotaRacingUSA.com. David Stiles, who usually prepares my Toyota performance report for me when I walk in, he used up all of his yellow highlighter this week.
In the top 10, almost.
In the top 10, yeah.
Showing how the Toyotas did. They had the top three spots. Chase Briscoe, Christopher Bell, Denny Hamlin. In sixth, got to mention, Bubba Wallace is hanging around, and I'm feeling like now he's on a pretty good trajectory to at least make the 16, maybe even better. Ty Gibbs, who was right there throughout the whole race, I'm surprised he finished far back as eighth. And then it was coming in next was Corey Heim in ninth. Corey looked really strong throughout the day. You're going to have to deal with this guy next year. And Riley Herbst, I thought it was kind of funny in one of the post-race interviews, guys. They're asking Denny about this, and they're telling blah, 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 and Bubba did this, and you did this. And he goes, well, don't forget Riley got a top 10. And I'm thinking, okay, This is a guy you just sent, you gave him his walking papers just a little bit ago, Alexis.
Well, I just was going to say, you know, there's one notable name that you didn't mention in the top 10, and I'm sure we're going to talk about him later, and that's Tyler Reddick having some mechanical issues.
We're going to devote a whole segment to that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I got to go way down the list here to 36 to find Tyler Reddick. So had problems, had something fly up off the track and go through the radiator and put him on the sidelines. But all in all, a very good day for the Toyota brand. That's our Toyota Performance Report, brought to you by Toyota Racing. Your race, your story. Be a part of the action at ToyotaRacingUSA.com. Andrew Kirtland was out at Chicagoland this weekend. We'll get his impressions of what was going on right after this.
How does Chase Briscoe win? With the hands of his pit crew changing four tires in under 9 seconds. The voice of his spotter carving a path through the pack. His race engineer, systems engineer, all working tirelessly to shave off a tenth of a second. With his team at Toyota, his crew chief, his fans, his family. It's all of this all at once at 200 miles per hour. From the moment Chase joined Toyota to the moment he ends up in victory lane. So how does Chase Briscoe win? In summary, not alone. Toyota Racing. Your race, your story. NASCAR is a registered trademark of the National Association for Stock Car Auto Racing, LLC.
When it comes to maintaining your engine to run at peak performance, trust Z-Max Micro Lubricant. Z-Max soaks into metal and is so easy to add to your oil or gas to disperse carbon buildup in your engine, fuel system, and transmission. Protect your vehicle's engine to the max with Z-Max. Check us out at Z-Max.com or visit us on Facebook and X to find out more about our full line of products. Remember the name Z-Max for your car, big rig, small engines, firearms, and more. That's Z-Max Micro Lubricant.
I'm Bubba Wallace, and you're listening to Fast Talk on the Performance Racing Network.
I'm Andrew Kurland, along with David Stiles, here to give you the latest NASCAR news and opinions each weekday on PRN's Garage Pass. You'll hear everything from race recaps to feature stories, industry news, and chatter from around the garage.
I just think it's interesting to see kind of what your heart rate does in moments of calm or, you know, when things start to ramp up and how quickly it can kind of recover from that.
With Garage Pass, you won't miss a moment from green to checkered flag.
Victory Junction is a year-round camp for children with chronic and life-threatening illnesses and serious medical needs. We'll see 120 kids with spina bifida, 120 kids with craniofacial disorders, 120 kids who have diabetes or who have asthma. From 6 to 16 years old, it empowers them to just be the kids that they are that week. Not their disease, not their illness, they're just a kid. If you know a child that can benefit from Victory Junction, we'll do everything in our power to make sure that child comes to camp.
Talk here on PRN, the Performance Racing Network. Andrew Kurland grew up not far from Chicagoland Speedway. I think he refers to it as his home track. Is that the case, Andrew?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, I went to my first race in Chicagoland back in 2010, which was really neat, and didn't really get to say goodbye to it in 2019 because we just thought it'd be back, and then COVID happened, and so I'm not sure if they're going to go back to Chicago next year. I would love it if they did. But yeah, this has been home ever since I've been a race fan.
So from your perspective, I heard a lot about this over the weekend from TV and the radio folks and media folks. What was your opinion of the overall feel and the vibe of what was going on at Chicagoland, taking into fact that Saturday they had to fight a monsoon?
I would say that at least my main observations was, wow, it looks identical to the way we left it. There were a few things here or there that looked maybe a little bit like run down, but for the most part, I walked around that facility. I'm like, nothing's changed. It's practically the same racetrack that I remember. Obviously, the rain wasn't planned, and when you have a facility that's been sitting dormant like this for so long, there's going to be hiccups and things along the way. They had to change the routes for people to park. They had to park people in new parking lots on Sunday, and that obviously was not plan A, and that caused for some headaches for people getting into the track, including myself. I'm trying to give them grace because that wasn't their main plan. I would give them maybe, I think, a little bit of a harder time if that was the best that they could come up with, but that was just something that they had to turn around. I know there were fans that were upset about that, fans that missed the beginning of the race, but I think everyone got in by the time stage one was done.
Well, weather can play havoc with the best laid plans, and if you've been around the racing game for a long time, you see that. Alexis, what was your take just overall on what you saw this past weekend, especially on Sunday and Sunday night from Chicagoland?
Well, I think it speaks volumes that NASCAR was able to put out, a statement saying that there was a sellout crowd, because, you know, we didn't really know what it was going to be like with the return of Chicagoland. And so I thought it was great. I thought the racing was great. I thought the crowd looked great. Obviously, there was a few things on social media that people brought up, like Andrew said, about parking and just the overall traffic patterns. But I think for a racetrack that has been dormant for, you know, 6+ years, I think they put in a really great show, and they treated the fans that came out in droves to a really great race.
I mean,
your thoughts.
You really saw that this market is starved for racing action. And so it was just good to see the campground full, good to see the stands full. You got 2 days of racing. Allotby, the Saturday show was really, really long because of the weather. But both of those races went really well. You got decent action on the track. And so, for me, I thought it was a success. I hope that we go back to this market. I think the street course is great, but I also like the mile and a half there at Chicagoland.
All right, Andrew, let's talk a little bit about that. David mentioned the market. That's a huge metropolitan area there. And NASCAR's already raced 3 times in downtown Chicago. The second two went really well. The first one encountered historic rain. If given a choice, you get one from column A and one from column B, but you only get one. Is NASCAR going to say, let's stay at Chicagoland and grow this track back, or let's go back and race on the shores of Lake Michigan?
Oh, man. Why are you doing this to me? This is like picking a favorite kid. I will say the raceability of the racetrack of Chicagoland Speedway, I think, is a great product. Before we left from Joliet, I'm like, this is one of the greatest mile and a halfs that we have on the schedule. I think the only problem is location. And the Chicago street course, I feel like, is going to draw in a bigger crowd, a newer audience, per se. So it's a double-edged sword. I think logistically, the street race, even though it was in the heart of a city, was actually easier to maneuver and manage and felt like a bigger event. But at the same time, Chicagoland, the Oval, brings in those core NASCAR fans. That was the biggest thing. This weekend was all about the core fans. The street race was all about the new fans. If I had to pick one, I like the street race. And I just say it because of everything that's around it. It's a cool area to be. It's a cool event. It's a destination. But obviously, I would like to have both. I know that might be a hot take.
Well, I know Alexis and I are infinitely familiar with Chicago. I think we got turned around and spent 12 hours walking one day.
It's a big city.
It is a big city. And if you're a country mouse like myself, it's easy to get displaced there. Alexis, what do you think NASCAR does now? Do they alternate? Do we go to Chicagoland 1 year and then back to the street course? Do they say, no, we love the street course because of the event? I feel like this is a tough call.
I think it's a tough call too, but let me pose this question to the group. Is there a world in which both could survive? Because you're talking about, and in Andrew's comments he just made, they serve two kind of different crowds. You know what I mean? You've got the street race, which serves the newer NASCAR fan, and you have the Chicagoland race, which serves the core fan. And yes, is there some crossover there? Certainly. I'm sure that there will be. But is there a world in which both of those things could survive? It's a big city. It's a beautiful place to go. I think there's a world in which you could do both.
I mean, I mentioned it. It's the third biggest DMA in the country. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So to be in this market with a race is already a win for the sport anyway. Sure. The caveats to this, I think the downfall for the street course is if there's any kind of weather.
Well, we all know that.
Like we've seen in the past, they're going to either cut that race short and it's going to run that weekend and then that'll be it. You don't have that at Chicagoland. They've got lights. The track is there. You can come back the next day. And then the plus for Chicagoland is right now with this particular car and this package, the mile and a half racing is really, really good. I think we're starting to see the car get better on the street courses. So I don't know. I'm like you. I wish we could have them both. Like I want both of them. I want my cake and I want to eat it too. So if I had to pick one right now today, I think you should probably go back to Chicagoland just because the product on track is a little bit better. But man, the street course is just such a great event, like Andrew and you have said.
Well, I just wonder because, you know, we've heard reports. I think it was Jordan Bianchi who earlier this year reported that the street course is back on. Like he reported it like it hasn't been announced yet, but it's a done deal. So that kind of leaves it up in the air. Obviously, we do not know that for sure. NASCAR's not put out any schedules, but Jordan Bianchi's pretty good at reporting on NASCAR things. So you wonder, okay, Chicagoland just put on a great race. Yeah. Maybe it would be an easier decision if we had a race this past weekend that wasn't great and fans didn't come out for, and then maybe NASCAR wouldn't have such a hard decision to make. But I think they're going to have to be thinking long and hard about the future of Chicagoland Speedway.
All right, Andrew, I think it was Bill Murray in Ghostbusters. Cats and dogs sleeping together. Do we get a universe where there is a race in Chicagoland and one in downtown Chicago in the same calendar year?
I just think that's hard because what is going to give from that?
Mm-hmm. You got to take something somewhere else.
This Chicagoland race was our Chicago street course weekend last year. So if you've got both of them now, who do you get rid of? And is that a San Diego? Is that something else? I don't know. That's the only problem is our schedule so tightly packed together with contracts with these tracks that you have to have certain races, you have to have a certain number for each one, and I just don't know where you would give in or who you would get rid of to make room for both. Now, obviously, I would like both. I think there needs to be a race in the area, period, because as David said, the Midwest fans, we lost Road America years ago. For a few years, we lost the Chicago race in general. And as we have seen, they will come, whether it's to the street race or to sell out like we saw this past weekend in Joliet. This area is certainly hungry for it. I don't know if I see a world where you get both, though.
I doubt that ever happens. But to Alexis's point earlier, this feeds two different groups. This feeds the NASCAR traditional fan, which loves a Chicagoland Speedway with all of its grooves, or the new fan, which just says, hey, there are really loud cars driving around Lake Michigan. So there's a lot to be said there. When we come back, let's dissect the points race now.
From fueling NASCAR champions on the track for over 20 years, to innovating 94 octane, the highest octane on the market. Performance is what Sunoco does. All Sunoco fuel at the pump meets the same top-tier standards as the fuel used in NASCAR. From the track to your tank, you can trust Sunoco to help your vehicle perform at its peak.
There was a time when speed wasn't a sport, it was survival. The hills of Wilkes County made outlaws. Only one rule, don't get caught. That's one thing that hasn't changed. This July, short track chaos and nowhere to hide. Only now, it's a points race. Be there when it matters. The Window World 450, July 19th at North Wilkesboro Speedway. Get tickets today at northwilkesborospeedway.com.
I'm Ryan Blaney, and you're listening to Fast Talk on the Performance Racing Network.
It's time for a PRN Pit Stop. Today, we're getting to know Nick Yeoman.
Let's crack him up.
Who's the first person you called when you found out you were joining the PRN booth this year?
It was my dad, who, I mean, he's the reason I'm a racing fan. There's pictures of me in a crib just like hours old, and I've got like a Bill Elliott, like Coors Light number 9 hat on. It's like much larger than my head, and I have a large head. So he was definitely the one that I reached out to first.
What's the best advice you have for an aspiring broadcaster?
Well, it's going to sound silly, but it really is as simple as call what you see.
What's the craziest call you've made in your career?
Turn number 2 for the Indianapolis 500, when Scott Dixon soared through the air, I called it live, and seeing Scott Dixon's car fly through the air in flame, fire, you know, debris everywhere, that was probably the biggest one that stands out to me.
This was a PRN Pit Stop with Nick Yeoman.
Welcome back to Fast Talk. Let's break down the season standings right now as we are not that far away from going for the big enchilada at the end of the year in the chase. So Denny Hamlin, a week ago, took over the points lead. He padded it, adding 43 points to his lead. He's now plus 44 over Tyler Reddick, plus 113 over Ryan Blaney. I ask you this, Alexis. For a while, I remember not all that long ago, we were talking about it, cakewalk for Tyler Reddick. He wins the regular season. And now it may be tough for him to hang on to second place if he keeps trending like he has lately.
It just goes to show how much we know. You're right. I mean, I think it wasn't that long ago on this very show that we're like, there's no way Tyler Reddick's going to fall from the lead. You know, he's got such a huge cushion and, you know, opening up the season with all those wins. But look, I mean, this is a long season. It's a grueling season. Things happen. Things change. And, you know, they sometimes change more quickly than we expect them to. And here we are with Denny Hamlin now in first place, and he's got a 44-point, cushion on second. And you're right. With the way things are going for that 45 team, and a lot of the things that have happened to Tyler Reddick and that team, I believe, are just situational. They're like bad luck. You know, just this past weekend in Chicagoland, he has somebody else's piece of splitter come up and knock out the cooling system in his car. Those things, you know, sometimes you just can't help having those things happen. But it's the snowball effect of having it happen week in and week out for like the past 3 or 4 weeks and how far he's fallen in that amount of time. So will he be able to turn his luck around? Will he be able to, get the proverbial monkey off his back, so to speak? I think only time will tell. I do believe that that team is exceptionally good this year. I think even with the things that have happened to them to have this, fall in the points, I think they are still a really good race team. They are running for Toyota, obviously, who is, the leader in the clubhouse when it comes to manufacturers. So I think they absolutely have the ability to hold on to second and maybe even possibly by the end of the season get to a closer situation with Denny Hamlin where maybe they could take first back. But things are going to have to turn around significantly. And one of those things is just going to have to be their luck.
David, all this big slide started back at Michigan, where Tyler Reddick finished 35th. At Pocono, they bounced back. He was second. San Diego, 25th on the road course. Sonoma, 36th. And Chicago, 36th. And the big problem here for Reddick was everybody thought he would come out of this stretch with San Diego and Sonoma having increased his lead. And still, we leave San Diego and Denny Hamlin's the points leader.
Yeah, that we saw that battle with Corey Hyman, that San Diego street course, didn't do him any favors when he cut that right front tire, and he only scored 2 points yesterday. Two. It's just unfathomable to think about just the fall that he has had. I mean, Doug just said it, 36, 25th, a second place finish, and then 35th. That's the last handful of races that he's raced in. This has been a fall, not just, tripped and fell. I had a stumble. This is like an asteroid re-entering the atmosphere and getting burned up. Like, he's got no room. There is no room to wiggle anymore. I know I said it last week. Denny Hamlin must be living in his head rent-free. this is bad. Like, they've got to start hitting the panic button. They've got to put some good runs together, or they're going to see this just evaporate, because now he's 44 points behind. It was just a single point last week. I mean, this is... He could fall out of the top. I think he could lose second place. I mean, Ryan Blaney's right there.
I mean, I don't disagree with you. Certainly, mathematically, it is possible for that to happen.
Yes.
But I also do still believe that that team is a good race team, and that they can put good runs together, and that they can turn the ship around. Will that happen? TBD. But I think it could, certainly.
All right, Andrew, you're locked into a room with Tyler Reddick, and you got to coach him up right now. What are you going to say to him?
Don't do anything different. Honestly, it's you talk about his results, and I think the bleeding actually started one weekend earlier at Nashville. But you got to look at what Denny Hamlin's doing, and Denny Hamlin's going on a run that he went on early in the season. 3 wins in a row, 14th at San Diego, 26th at Sonoma, 3rd at Chicago. Meanwhile, Reddick has had problems. He crashed. He finished 2nd in Pocono, but 2nd to Denny Hamlin. Flat tire in San Diego, power steering in Sonoma, a radiator damage in Chicago. So it's not like they're doing this on purpose, and it's not like there's anything that they can really control. Honestly, I'm in a room with Tyler Reddick, and I say, this week's a new week. Reset. There's nothing that you are doing as a race car driver that's wrong. It's not an execution issue. It's just bad luck. I think we need to pump the brakes a little bit on him losing second, at least, to Ryan Blaney. I know we were texting in our group chat yesterday, and I was thinking about that. But the more I'm thinking about it, this is just an unlucky stretch for Tyler Reddick. Don't do anything different. That's my opinion.
And the one thing you got to remember is he's in a Toyota, like Alexis said.
Yeah.
And his teammates are running really well, too. So I don't think that it's panic time, but – there's some issues. I mean, there's things out of your control that sometimes you just have no control over. And if things continue to slide, it's going to be hard to fight back from.
I think it's going to be extremely difficult. Let's throw this out for conversation. Alexis, I'll start with you. We mentioned Ryan Blaney, and words that I never thought would come out of my mouth. Ty Gibbs is minus 137, but every week he's right there. Do you think in the back of Ty Gibbs' mind and that entire 54 team, they're thinking, okay, you guys all fight amongst yourselves, and while this is going on, we're just going to creep up here and snatch this thing, or maybe finish second?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's, in my opinion, that should be what every driver in the top 5 or top 6 should be thinking. You know, I'm just going to run my race. I'm going to do what I can do and hope that the cards fall in my favor. And Ty Gibbs has been doing that. I mean, we've had so many conversations on this show about Ty Gibbs, and it seems like year in and year out, we're like, where is Ty Gibbs? Where is he? And this year, he's shown up. He has shown up in a big way. I think part of that is probably due to the fact that he's in a Toyota. Again, if you're in Toyota, it's almost like you've got a superpower in this sport right now. And he has that. And so that's definitely helping him. But I think he's matured, too. Obviously, getting his first win of the season this year at Bristol, that has helped in a lot of ways. But he's been consistently good. It's not like, oh, I've got, you know, had a good run here and a good run there, and then I've had 3 runs, you know, where I've kind of fallen off and then I come back. No, it's been a consistently good run and good performance from that team. And so, yeah, I mean, I think that the people, you know, I think Ryan Blaney probably has got an eye on Ty Gibbs and what he's doing. Because, you know, the Fords aren't performing nearly as well as the Toyotas. And Ryan Blaney is certainly outperforming. He is outkicking his coverage, no doubt, to be where he is in that Team Penske Ford when you look at the rest of the competitors in a Ford. But, yeah, I mean, Ty Gibbs, that's got to be what he's thinking. How far up this ladder can I climb before we start this chase?
David is 24 points behind Ryan Blaney for 3rd.
It's doable. I think it's very doable, especially all the problems that Blaney has on pit road with that team. And like we saw yesterday in Chicagoland, they were on a different strategy where the track started to change and they said, okay, we've got the track position. We know that we're good. When the track starts to change, we're not going to change anything. We're just going to maintain the position. We've got this position. Just stay there. Don't do anything crazy. Just get your points. But Ty Gibbs is fighting for wins. I mean, they're going up there, and they're starting to be a contender each and every week. And so I think that he could pass him he could potentially pass Tyler Reddick. I know I'm trying to put Tyler Reddick in his
grave. Poor Tyler Reddick.
Poor Tyler Reddick. But yeah. Man, I mean, this is why we run these races. We've got 7 races left. I think the strategy of everyone doing the math to say, where do we need to be points-wise to run for the championship? I think you're just trying to grab as many points as you possibly can. And if you're in a Toyota, you're just licking your chops right now.
And Gibbs is doing a great job of that. I want to get Andrew's take on this, but we're behind on getting to a break. So we'll do that. And I want to look at the guys in the bottom half of the playoff standings, who stays and who disappears.
Do you want to save money on your next flight? Then pick up the phone and call. That's right, call. Because the best prices are not online. They're with SmartFares. See, SmartFares has special deals with the airlines. When they have unsold seats, they use SmartFares to fill them. So you get airline tickets at crazy low prices. They have access to great prices and discounts at over 500 different airlines. Plus 300,000 hotels and rental car companies. Their prices are too low to publish online. With the extra money you'll save, you can book another trip or treat yourself to dinner or shopping. So stop searching all of those travel sites to find the lowest price on your next flight. Let one of our SmartFares expert travel agents find the best price for you. Call SmartFares today and get ready to see the world with a fat wallet.
800-603-6298. 800-603-6298. 800-603-6298. That's 800-603-6298.
I'm Ricky Stenhouse Jr., and you're listening to Fast Talk on the Performance Racing Network.
I'm David Stiles, and each weekday, Andrew Kurland and I bring you the biggest stories from the garage on our daily show, Garage Pass.
I finally got onto a smooth road and just did one of those nodders and woke up tumbling, you know, out through the middle of the desert, and we had literally a vehicle that would move down the race course and chase you. Well, our chase truck got into a fender bender in a small little town, and the guys got locked up in jail.
That's PRN's Garage Pass right here.
Hey, race fans, we can't wait to see you right here at New Hampshire Motor Speedway for a wicked fast, wicked fun weekend this August as we host New England's only NASCAR Cup Series weekend. Live performances, driver appearances. Don't forget to keep an eye on NHMS.com as we count down to New England's only NASCAR Cup weekend, August 21st through the 23rd, right here at New Hampshire Motor Speedway, New England's big track, where it's always about family, friends, and fun.
To finish up the convo about Ty Gibbs, then we'll take a look at the guys closer to the cut line. Andrew Kurland, Ty Gibbs in his last 4 races, 9th at Pocono, San Diego 15th, Sonoma 3rd, Chicagoland 8th. Do we need to consider him, if not maybe a regular season contender? Is this a guy that could win the whole deal at the end of the year?
Ooh, the whole thing, that's tough. I'm going to need to see more winning out of him. Okay. Ty Gibbs, it's interesting. He's like the perfect top 5 car. I don't know the exact number of laps that he's led, but it's like this guy is always in the top 5, top 10. But think about, where is he actually a contender? And I can think of a few races off the top of my head that he is. I'm going to need to see him a little bit more on the contender for the win side if you really want to compete for a championship, because I feel like once we start this chase, that's what it's going to come down to. Wins are going to be such huge swings, especially with the points reset and with the pressure as high as it is. That's the only thing that I'm missing out of him. He is a rock-solid race car driver and can compete and run in the top 5 like it's nobody's business. But I want to see a little bit more of the contender out of Ty Gibbs.
Well, he has grown into that. He's led 133 laps this year. His average finish has been about 13th. Those are not eye-popping numbers, but that consistency thing just wears you down. Alexis, let's go to the cut line. Eric Jones is in 16th. Ryan Preece is 4 points behind him. Joey Logano, this one still kind of blows my mind, is in 18th. He's 16 points back from Eric Jones in 16th. Are we looking at a chase that doesn't have Joey Logano involved in it as far as trying to win a title?
certainly looks that way. I mean, look, the points at the cut line are really close, as we expect them to be. That's going to be something that we keep a close eye on, you know, as we inch closer and closer to the start of the chase, is that cut line. And I think it's going to probably remain close amongst those probably 4 to 6 players in that area. But I have not seen much from Joey Logano this year that leads me to believe that he is going to be able to climb his way back in. Unfortunately, he has been, you know, kind of at times I don't even think about where he is on the racetrack because he's just not top of mind in the conversation of how the race is unfolding. And so that team has a lot of work to do, especially when you look at it, you know, in the juxtaposition between him and someone like Ryan Blaney. I mean, you're talking about a multi-time champion in Joey Logano, and he's just not getting the same thing out of that race car that Ryan Blaney is getting. And so because of that, I think he's going to have a harder time climbing his way into chase contention where, you know, Ryan Blaney, as we already talked about, is, you know, clearly very comfortably, you know, in the top three.
Well, I know we throw that 3-time champion out there a lot. Those things don't do you any good right now, except
no,
for the experience.
Absolutely
that
not.
You've piled up over time. Andrew, I want to jump to you right now. Are we too quick to dismiss the 3-time champion, even though I just said that doesn't really mean anything? Last 4 races, not been stellar. 30, I'm going to make sure I'm reading the right thing here. Just not very good at all. 34th, 18th, 24th, and 12th at Chicagoland. Those are not championship numbers by any stretch.
No, but we're talking about making the chase, not winning the championship.
Correct.
I do think those are 2 different things. But I will say Joey was actually the one guy that I circled on my list as someone to watch in this last stretch of races. And take a look at the tracks that we've got coming up. Echo Park Speedway, he is a recent winner there. He has won the All-Star race at North Wilkesboro before. 4th at New Hampshire last year. Indy, okay, you could say that wasn't necessarily his best. He had a top 10 at Iowa last year. He finished 4th at Richmond. Remember, he was almost going to win that race when Austin Dillon spun him the year before. So I'm looking at these group of racetracks coming up outside of a few question marks in Daytona and maybe Indy where he hasn't run that very good. I actually like this stretch that Joey Logano is about to go on. That's going to be someone that I'm going to be watching as can he close the gap? We're talking about top 10s here. We're not talking about race wins. I think top 10s, if you can string those together, that can maybe get you the points to get you in that top 16.
He might get to the top 16. The Blue Oval's working at a deficit this year.
Sure.
If you're in a
yeah.
Ford, they've won 1 race, and that's Ryan Blaney, you know, a century ago. So right now, if you're in a Ford, it is not the prime spot to be. We got to take a timeout when we come back. Time for a little green flag, black flag.
From fueling NASCAR champions on the track for over 20 years to innovating 94 octane, the highest octane on the market. Performance is what Sunoco does. All Sunoco fuel at the pump meets the same top-tier standards as the fuel used in NASCAR. From the track to your tank, you can trust Sunoco to help your vehicle perform at its peak.
Green flag, the Coca-Cola 600's underway.
This is a crown jewel race.
It's a 600-mile salute to those who have made the ultimate sacrifice.
It's do what we love because of the sacrifices that were made by our military heroes.
If you win this one, you'll carry it with you forever.
It's NASCAR's toughest test for man and machine.
It's the Coca-Cola 600 on Memorial Day weekend.
I'm Joey Logano, and you're listening to Fast Talk on the Performance Racing Network.
The
NASCAR O'Reilly Auto Parts Series heads to Echo Park Speedway.
Big shove from Eric Almirola in the back. Side by side, the first three rows. They stay that way all four. Allgaier on the bottom.
Nose to nose, door to door for the lead. Austin Hill with a little advantage on the outside lane.
Jesse Love goes and cuts down in front of Josh Williams. There's Austin Hill, cannot get the outside line going.
Catch all the action of the Focused Health 250. Saturday, July 11th, 6:30 Eastern on PRN. NASCAR heads to Echo Park Speedway.
Blaney, bottom of the racetrack. Chastain makes it three wide. He'd like to take a spot here on the backstretch.
It's the Quaker State 400.
Ross Chastain shot out of a cannon from the sixth starting spot. He has already moved up to second. Here comes Larson, just like I said. He'll try to get the lead on those new tires really fast. He's going to pull it off in three. He'll try it in two. Barely squeezes ahead of Hamlin.
A Quaker State 400. Sunday, July 12th at 6 p.m. on PRN.
Thanks so much for joining us on Fast Talk. Doug Rice along with Alexis Erickson, David Stiles, and Andrew Curlin. And we now release the reins of the show to Mr. Kent Bernhardt.
It's time for another edition of Green Flag, Black Flag.
All right, our panel may be scattered about today, but we don't need them here physically. We just need their brain power right now, and we have all of that.
I don't know how much you're getting.
I feel for you.
And here's the way it's played. I read some carefully prepared statements. If our panel agrees with said statement, they give it a green flag. If they disagree, it gets a black flag. We'll do Andrew Curlin here first. Why not? Tyler Reddick will fall from second in the point standings before the regular season ends. Oops. Hold on, Andrew. We lost you. Let's go to David Stiles. We'll go to David Stiles.
Green flag. I got to stay on brand.
Well,
right?
I mean, my goodness.
Green flag.
You just gave a whole, you know, monologue on why he was going to.
Yeah. So we've got enough data on that. Green flag. He falls out. Right.
Yeah, I'm going to say black flag because, as I had mentioned before, I just feel like that team is still capable of executing. I think they're still capable of running really, really well. They've just got to get that monkey off their back. And so I think they're able to get it done.
All right, Doug Rice, what do you think?
You know what? I'm on Team Tyler. There are so many Tylers and Ties in NASCAR these days. I think that's a good name to have. So I think Reddick hangs on to that second place. All right. Denny Hamlin's got the regular season.
That's some sound.
That's all I got.
Tyler Reddick, Ty Gibbs, Ty Dillon.
Yeah. Tyler Allen, you know.
Yeah, sure.
And the tie goes to the runner.
There you all go. Right.
Let's try Andrew again here. Hold on. Let me see if we got you back.
Hello.
There you go.
He's back.
All right.
Green flag or black flag, sir? Do you want the question again?
I'm going to black flag it. I don't think Tyler Reddick makes the fall. I know we covered this earlier in the show, but I think this is just bad luck. He can turn it around.
All right. We go to David Stiles for this one now. Joe Gibbs will be the only team with every driver winning a race.
Green flag. Christopher Bell gets one somewhere.
All right.
I think it's doable.
What do you think, Alexis?
Yeah, I'm gonna concur. I say green flag as well. I mean, we just look at how well he's driving with a broken wrist. So, yep. You know, what's going to happen when that wrist heals? I think he's going to make it to victory lane before the year's out for sure.
Doug Rice.
I'm going to make it 3-for-3 right now. Bell wins a race. And Gibbs will be the only team that puts every driver into a win column this year.
Andrew, do you make it unanimous?
Green to the flag. Yes, absolutely. Bell is on a tear, and the Toyotas are on a tear. I don't see any other team performing like the way Joe Gibbs is.
All right. Alexis Erickson, here we go with you. Christopher Bell will be a title threat once his wrist finally heals.
Oh, man. You know, I think certainly, as I said, anybody that's in a Toyota driving for Joe Gibbs Racing has kind of got a bit of a superpower. So, yeah, I think he's doing amazing things with his wrist still broken. So let's wait and see what happens, you know, what he can do when his wrist is actually healed.
Okay, Doug, title threat for Christopher?
Black flag.
No. Ah.
They're minus 252 right now. Too many other bad things have to happen to other people for him to be a title threat.
Andrew.
I like it. Green flag. Talking to Christopher Bell and Adam Stevens. His mobility is limited, and he was in a splint this weekend in Chicago, which is good. He's actually going back to a cast for Echo Park Speedway because of how intense it is. But with how limited his mobility is at these different tracks, he is running like a madman. I think that's only going to open up for him, and I think he's due for a win as well.
David.
I think he is a title contender, even with a broken wrist. I put some more fuel on that fire. You can tell he's hungry. I think he's going to make his way up to the front.
All right, Andrew, we'll make this one yours as well here. Let's see. Fret not for Bubba Wallace. His win is coming.
Black flag. I'm sorry, Bubba. I haven't seen the speed out of him again. We talk about contenders. I see that out of Tyler Reddick, and obviously we saw it out of Corey Heim. He just hasn't been up front leading laps the way I've wanted to see him do that to win a race this year.
David.
Bubba Wallace gets a win? No, I don't think so. Not this year.
Okay.
I'm going to say green flag.
Oh.
I think he maybe hasn't been running, you know, in the top one, two, three or contending as much for a win, but I think he's in a Toyota that is running fantastically strong this season. And you still have races that he's really good at, like your drafting tracks that we're going to this weekend at Atlanta Motor Speedway. You've got Daytona. I mean, I think that there's an opportunity certainly for him to get a win this season.
Doug, what do you think?
I think Bubba mentally is in a better spot than he's been in a long time. And to what Alexis said, he's in a Toyota. Bubba gets a W this year.
All right. There you go. There's green flag, black flag.
All right. Thanks a bunch. When we come back, we'll do one last thing.
How does Chase Briscoe win? With the hands of his pit crew changing four tires in under 9 seconds. The voice of his spotter carving a path through the pack. His race engineer, systems engineer, all working tirelessly to shave off a tenth of a second. With his team at Toyota, his crew chief, his fans, his family, it's all of this all at once at 200 miles per hour. From the moment Chase joined Toyota to the moment he ends up in victory lane. So how does Chase Briscoe win? In summary, not alone. Toyota Racing. Your race, your story. NASCAR is a registered trademark of the National Association for Stock Car Auto Racing, LLC.
We work hard to keep our cars looking great on the outside, but engine components need our attention too. That's where you can trust Z-Max Micro Lubricant to disperse carbon buildup in your engine and fuel system. Keep your car or truck running at its peak. By soaking into the metal of your engine, Z-Max Micro Lubricant improves performance, extends engine life, and reduces emissions. Trust the many customers who've said, "Thanks for saving my engine." Find out more at ZMAX.com or follow us on Facebook and X.
This is Christopher Bell, and you're listening to PRN, the Performance Racing Network.
Hey, it's Charlie and Debbie, along with NASCAR legend Kyle Petty, inviting you to join us for Kyle Petty's Back Then Again Country Countdown.
Each week, we'll put it in reverse and take a trip down memory lane, looking back at that week's top 20 country songs from years past.
We'll dive into what made those songs and artists move the needle, what pop culture trends made those years unique.
And you'll get to hear me tell stories only I can tell.
So don't miss Kyle Petty's Back Then Again Country Countdown right here each week.
Welcome to PRN's At the Track. I'm Lenny Baticki. We are PRN's half-hour weekly show dedicated to the short track, dirt track, legends, and kart racing across the Southeast. We provide our audience with the news and insightful conversations with the newsmakers from grassroots racing.
How did that help you this time to take this victory from a grassroots perspective?
I definitely felt like Martinsville was a lot harder than the other one.
That's PRN's At the Track.
Well, certainly hope that each and every one of you had a fun time celebrating the nation's 250th birthday. I know I did, and Alexis and David, we were all in the same place at the same time. But it just dawned on me, guys, not at any point did I in person actually see fireworks this year. I heard them. Oh. I stayed in the house because it was just too hot after a while to go back out on the 4th. Did either one of you guys actually see fireworks?
Not on the actual 4th of July, but at Summer Shootout.
Oh,
last
yeah.
Tuesday.
Yeah.
Big fireworks show, 12 minutes long.
Yeah, so, I did not, and I was kind of bummed about that. You know, you're a regular listener of the show, you know, have a four-year-old son, and so I was trying to figure out a good place to go to watch the fireworks, but you're right, Doug. The weather here in the Carolinas was like the surface of the sun past weekend, and so it would have just been a little too uncomfortable. Some of the places near where I live to do it, you've got to get there early to get a good seat and all of those things, and so unfortunately, we weren't able to make it work out this season, but we did buy, you know, those little... poppets. They're like
you throw them
on the ground, and
cool.
So he got to do that, and he thought that was the greatest thing ever. So
okay, so
those things are addictive.
They are. Yeah.
So here's the question: going to see fireworks, overrated, underrated, or shoot your own fireworks off, overrated, ooh, underrated?
I don't like shooting off my own fireworks because typically they're the ones that are just like on the ground, like you're not getting ones that shoot up in the air and all that.
Just fountains of sparks.
I'm just kind of like, I prefer to go see them, but sometimes, like this past weekend, it's just not doable with the weather or whatever. So you know that plays a part, but I don't know. My family was never one to go out and buy our own fireworks and set off our own fireworks, so maybe that has something to do with my feelings there. But why are you laughing at me, Doug?
Because I grew up on a farm. And if we didn't have fireworks, we just took 12 gauges out in the backyard.
You work with what you got.
They tend to frown on that here in the subdivision.
They do. Like,
we don't care for random gunfire. You know what, David? If I've got the right stuff, if I've left North Carolina and went to South Carolina really real fireworks, I like doing them myself. I am afraid of setting the neighborhood on fire, but I enjoy lighting myself.
This will let you into how I'm wired up. Overrated to go watch them. Like, okay, let's drive and go sit in the parking lot and watch them shoot off. Yeah. Don't really like that. If I can see them from my house, cool. If I can shoot my own off,
even better.
Yeah. I don't have to go anywhere. I got the show at the house. And we used to do that growing up. We had a big field. We'd shoot fireworks off all the time.
Yeah.
And it got a little hairy sometimes.
Anybody lose a finger?
No, well, we were close. Good. We were close, but no. Don't hold the firecrackers in your hands, folks.
It's a bad recipe right there. But I just dawned on me a few minutes ago. I did not see the single rocket's red glare for this July 4th, and I don't count watching them on television. And there seems to be a movement. I've seen this a lot on social media. Don't post your fireworks videos because nobody watches them. And then I realized they're right. I've never watched anybody's video of the fireworks they saw. They don't show up really good on your little tiny.
Well, it's not the same.
Phone screen.
Well, knock some points off because I posted some.
Really?
Yeah. From Summer Shootout. Yeah, I did. I was like, oh, these are quite nice. And I put them on the deal, and it had Lee Greenwood under it. I was like, this turned out pretty well. But you're right.
Nobody... you're promoting the company there.
Well, yeah, for sure.
That's really good. I mean, I'll give you that. You're promoting the company with your fireworks thing. And by the way, we said this last week, how many more Summer Shootout races do you have this year?
So last Tuesday was round number 6. We've got 10 in total. So we've only got 4 left. So
it goes so quick.
Summer's winding down. I mean, we're already into the second week of July. So
what's the theme this week?
This week, I think Lugnut's birthday's coming up soon.
Lugnut's
that'll
birthday.
Be a lot of fun. We Star just did Red, White, White and Vroom. There's a lot of fun left.
Well, David is one of the two PA announcers now for the Summer Shootout Series, which is the biggest little racing series in the world. And a lot of people have come through there. Joey Logano is the one that strike. That's where I got to know him.
Yeah.
He used to tow in this enormous rig. And, you know, little Joey would hop out and I'm going like, okay, is he really that good? Yeah, he was really that good. So the 250th has come and gone. And now I'm in a dilemma. I have, and you guys both saw them. You were up here at the house. I've got a large collection of Happy Birthday America 250.
All right. So, look, this is what we do for next year. Those that don't know, Doug and his wife Penny throw an amazing 4th of July party every single year that we go to. I saw on my Facebook. My husband and I have been going for like a decade. Okay. We got our memory
realize that.
From 10 years ago. This is what you do. You just take like a white paint marker. and cross out the zero and put a one next to it.
Yeah, there you go.
That's what I would do.
Here's your party favor.
Yep.
We'll just say it's 250 all over again.
So PRN heads to Echo Park Speedway this weekend, right outside of Atlanta. I say right outside. It's kind of like Joliet is to Chicago, but it'll be great. And you can catch all of the action of the Performance Racing Network this coming weekend from Echo Park Speedway. Turns into a great show. Thanks a lot to Kent Bernhardt, Alexis Erickson, Andrew Curlin, David Stiles. Remember, keep it between the navigational beacons.
Between the buoys.
5 o'clock somewhere.
Fast Talk was presented by Toyota Racing. Your race, your story. Be part of the action at ToyotaRacingUSA.com. And by Sunoco. From NASCAR to your car, Sunoco Fuel helps your car reach peak performance. This is PRN, the Performance Racing Network.